Welcome back on The Winner. Matt McCluskey with you, hanging out, talking a little sports. What's good, sports fans? All right, on the sports fix line with us, that was a little random of myself. Vince Mullins, FantasyCollegeBlitz.com. What's good, sports fan? What's good, Vince?
All kinds of things are good. A huge weekend of football. I'm still trying to recover.
It was awfully entertaining few days, and I certainly want to get to all of that, and especially Friday night and how that kind of changed the landscape. But before we do, the news of the day today is TCU, and I haven't had a chance to really discuss this with you, but I thought we could just get your initial thought process on the Horned Frogs joining the Big East for all sports, but specifically football. You know about this team just as much as any of the experts out there, for sure, in terms of what you covered for them on Fantasy College Blitz, their defense and their offense. Describe just a little bit about what the Big East is getting in TCU.
A top-notch program that's been able to produce on both sides of the ball, and also play beyond the rest of the Mountain West. There's a lot of good teams in the Mountain West, whether you got BYU or Utah. They've all been really helping each other improve over the course of the last decade. But TCU is just, my first thought was, what are they going to do in the East? You know, they're in Texas, but then I was reminded that the Cowboys are in the NFC East, so we kind of throw geography out the window. But you're looking at a top-notch program, and it immediately lifts the quality of play in the entire conference.
It's funny because that's exactly what Del Conte, the athletic director for TCU, said today during the press conference to announce their arrival to the Big East, that, hey, the Cowboys in the NFC East, it doesn't really matter. And I guess you don't really have to worry about this. In the Big East, we're part of Kentucky, Wisconsin, Florida, might as well be Texas now. But that's coming 2012. In terms of the Big East, and again, it's kind of a guess that we're asking you here to do, but at that point in 2012...
Isn't that what all analysts and pundits do? They just guess.
Exactly. Some better than others. Luckily, you're one of the better ones. Certainly make up for my lack of anything good guessing. But in terms of the 2012 BCS contract, you know, it'll be coming up. They'll be up for review with the Big East along with every other conference out there. Do you think that TCU coming in, even though it's a couple years out, do you think that it essentially guarantees the BCS will keep the Big East because they'll have the West Virginias and Pittsburghs and a rising Syracuse and a very good TCU program?
I've been getting that question a lot from friends and readers, and the way I'm thinking, there's no way that the ACC nor the Big East are going to get thrown out of the automatic qualifying position, but what I think you'll see is some sort of additional clause that will say you have to be of a certain quality, you know, to get that automatic shot at a BCS bowl game. You know, for instance, the ACC over the last few years has had four lost teams, you know, in the BCS. So I don't think you'll see those conferences be shut out of the future of the BCS, but I will think you'll see some sort of quality clause that'll be put together so a team like TCU gets an at-large, whereas a team like, I hate to shoot on the Big East, but, maybe something like a UConn with three losses or a Mississippi State with a four, you know, won't get a BCS spot.
So we have FantasyCollegeBlitz.com, Vince Mullins, here on the Sports Fix, all things college football. Getting to the weekend, first we got ubiquitous, but we got to do the Cam Newton talk. Just fantastic. Once again, Auburn looks dead to rights. Bama's defense, Tuscaloosa, that crowd, it looked bad for Auburn. And then credit the defense, but specifically offensively, Cam Newton getting the Tigers that victory. I mean, just unbelievable, right?
Well, unbelievable. Numerous times this year, Auburn has looked like they should have tapped out. You know, they look like they were going to get choked in a lot of games, but they just keep coming back. And whether that's Cam Newton, whether that's the solid coaching staff there at Auburn, you know, kudos to them for never counting themselves out. They consistently regroup at halftime like most good teams do and come back in the second half looking brand new. I remember the first series of the second half, they looked immensely better. Newton was starting to get some more yardage up the middle. There's nothing else more I can really say about Cam Newton. Remember, I'm the one at the beginning of the season was expecting Tim Tebow-like numbers. So I don't think I have any new adjectives to add to him. It's just amazing. I would expect them to dominate SC probably to a higher degree than what they did earlier this season when they met and really represent strongly in the national championship game.
Yeah, if there's a team out there that's a team of destiny, quote-unquote, it's got to be Auburn right now. I mean, it's just unbelievable week in and week out. And the Tiger defense, we talked about a little bit here. They get a couple guys back at halftime. And that run defense, they seem to give up a lot of points. I can point to that South Carolina game for one and certainly the Arkansas game earlier. But that run defense of the Tigers, very nasty up front.
It is. The tackle, Nick Fairley, has got his share of headlines for both good and bad reasons, but he really anchors that line well. The weakness with Auburn defense is the secondary. They're small but athletic, and that's why you've seen huge, you know, the big receivers of the SEC just run past them all year long, whether it was Julio Jones or Alshon Jeffrey or A.J. Green. They've all got to put up big games against Auburn, but Auburn gets the W, and that's all that matters. So, you know, I'd look for Alshon Jeffrey to have another big week this week, but still, I would expect Auburn to take the game, but there's no reason to bet against them at this point.
Well, let's get to the other Friday game that was certainly headline-causing, and that was Boise State going to Nevada and losing in overtime. And I just saw on ESPN.com a few seconds ago that the kicker from Boise is receiving all sorts of threats. It's kind of Scott Norwoodian, which is a shame because the kid's money. He just, I mean, that's as bad of a way to lose a game as could be, right?
I took my last drink of my adult beverage as soon as the game was over. I was starting to clean up, and all of a sudden he pushes it right. I couldn't believe it, especially after that amazing play that Kellen Moore made. That 60-yard bomb right on the numbers to get down, you know, with 2 seconds left. I figured it was just Boise as destiny. It takes more than one hand for me to count how many times I said that as they approached the last drive of the game, they got this. And it sure looks like they had it. But, you know, Brosson was injured earlier in the year, a few weeks back. He missed the game. I don't think there were any lingering issues there. If there were, I'm going to guess Chris Peterson would have sat him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you have to expect he would get some threats, especially with Twitter feeds and everything else and Facebook. But hopefully he stands above that and continues to kick well or whatever he chooses to do with his life.
Yeah, just unfortunate. I mean, completely unfortunate. Someone's got to be the GOAT, and that kid might have cost Boise and the entire school, I mean, so much. It's just, it's probably unquantifiable of what he cost the team and the school. But regardless, Boise probably could have won it earlier in the game, and they didn't get it done. But credit Nevada. And, you know, we all know about Kaepernick. We all know about their offense. But in general, Nevada, a lot of talent out there.
Especially on the offense side of the ball. And defense is where they've traditionally struggled and kept them from being an elite team. This year, it's all come together. And then you get the added bonus of Colin Kaepernick really passing well. So he is Nevada is a quality team. A lot of people were upset, I heard, that and read that Nevada only moved up two spots, you know, after beating Boise State. But I think that has a lot. I think that has more to do with the fact that most of the voters were concerned that Boise wasn't that good a team anyway, so they didn't really weight that win all that well. But one of my favorite players to watch in all of college football is Vitawa. He's that big bowling ball like running back from Nevada who just gets tons of yardage between the tackles. And he's got some speed, and he had a huge game, and you could tell he was giving it his all. He looked gassed at the end of regulation, but kept coming back in there and just grind out the hard yardage for him.
In terms of both the running back and quarterback situation for Nevada, I mean, as fantasy value goes, they've got to be extremely high up, playing in that whack and doing what they did all season, and it just kind of came to fruition there on Friday night.
Yeah, Kaepernick has been a top-five quarterback. He was top-five quarterback last year. And again, this year, top five overall fantasy wise. Vitawa, if you go back and look at any list preseason that didn't have him in the top 10 of all running backs, I would delete that bookmark on that website. Tawa is a guy who's been successful, and that Nevada system is successful. So, yeah, these are names that are no surprise to people who follow the smaller schools and the nationwide fantasy scene like we do.
Talking with Vince Mullins of FantasyCollegeBlitz.com here on the Sports Fix, a Monday edition, winding down and recapping the weekend that was a long week and a good week for college football. Lastly, on Boise, they go from potentially getting to that BCS title game, and I read today it looks like they could be in the Kraft Food Humanitarian Bowl, which takes place in their home field, their home stadium. I mean, my goodness, what a precipitous drop-off there for that team.
Well, yeah, I think that shows you just how tenuous it is for any non-automatic qualifying conference to talk the talk and walk the walk, trying to get into the BCS and the way the system is currently set up. Yeah, when you're falling from a potential BCS game all the way down to the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, they changed name for that one this year. That just shows you how tight it is. And I think that's going to work out monetarily just great for Boise. Which is nice, but it's nowhere near the money that they would have received had they, had they just simply converted a field goal. And my final thought on Boise is, let's remember Kyle Brossman is one reason why this team is, won 24 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
One reason why they're undefeated up to this point. He just had, as I like to say, he had a couple brain farts. That's it. And, you know, I hope, like Steve Johnson of the Bills, I hope he gets over it and continues on being an excellent kicker or whatever he chooses to do.
Well, hopefully he does not blame God like Stevie did. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
He's a unique character. That was a fun presser.
Yeah, and then the Twitter, I'm telling you, the Twitter feed's even crazier, blaming God and everything else with Stevie Johnson. But
a lot of athletes always praise God and they do well. I've always wondered when someone was going to say take the opposite tack, and here we go. Steve Johnson.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually, earlier in the show, I gave him credit for the right idea, wrong execution. And when you do bad, at least talk about God. When everyone does someone bad or does anything bad, they don't invoke that. Well, if you're going to do one, you got to do the other. So he had the right idea, but actually following through with blaming God is not the right idea, I think, anyway. I could be wrong. You know, I've been wrong in the past.
That's the spot.
just the craziness in Buffalo and with Boise, and the Broncos now heading to the Kraft Humanitarian Fight Hunger Cure AIDS Award Bowl game, whatever it is. Let's move on.
Hey, the Cure Bowl is next year. That one's actually in Orlando. There is a Cure Breast Cancer Bowl coming up next year.
Well, that's near and dear to my heart, as it is to a lot of people's heart. I'm certainly not. The message is there, but come on, that's a bowl. If I'm cutting a bowl game, I'm cutting the Kraft whatever bowl. If a bowl is trying to tell me to do something, I'm going to cut that bowl. We don't need that in our lives. Is that a good rule?
Well, maybe, but I'm not one to tell any. You know, I don't want anybody telling me what to do with my money. And if a corporation wants to set up a bowl game and have two average teams against one another, you know, great. You know, they're pretty much going to get a TV gig. I get it. And I hope it works for them as a corporate branding. But I don't want to be the one to tell them not to do it. And more football is always a good thing in my book.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be the guy watching the Division III title, playoffs too. And, you know, Mount Union and Wisconsin Whitewater. There's like the Lakers and the Celtics of Division III. I'll be watching that.
Yes, sir.
I'll
pick
up a bowl game too.
That is going to be a good game. And actually, Cortland State usually represents very well in the D3 playoffs as well, around a local team. Speaking all things football here now with Vince Mullins, an expert on D3, on Stevie Johnson, and everything. I wanted to get your take here on the wackiness of the BCS and the Big Ten and Big 12. As far as the Big Ten goes, it looks like Scani is going to be a beneficial team out of this because of the BCS rankings. As far as tiebreakers go, are you okay with that being the tiebreaker going to the BCS rank if need be?
In the absence of anything, I wouldn't want to see points scored or point differential. I wouldn't want to see that as a tiebreaker. Honestly, in the absence of anything better, I think it's fine. I mean, if you believe in the idea that the BCS helps you determine, you know, whether if you're a believer in that helps you determine what the better teams are, I guess I'm fine with that as a tiebreaker of third or fourth order like it is now. Because honestly, what else are you going to use? I mean, you just got to go back to style points or, you know, If you start using point differential, you get every team in the country, like Wisconsin, beating up and bullying smaller schools, and I don't think that gets you anywhere either. So, long story short, yeah, I'm fine with that as a tiebreaker, as long as it isn't, you know, a first or second order tiebreaker.
And Wisconsin puts up another, 70 points on Northwestern this week, and you know, it kind of effectively, that BCS is almost like that points differential type thing, because obviously I think Brett Bielema wanted to make a statement each week, and he's done so effectively. I don't know if you can fault him, it's the system, but with the BCS factoring in the computer and the human pull, the human eye tends to look towards those big scores and reward the big score. So effectively,
that's empirical. I mean, right? Wisconsin was ranked fourth in both the Harris poll and the coaches poll, seventh in the computer. So you're right. Wisconsin's the shiny thing. Ohio State's another one that's kind of, you know, trading on its brand name. It's final spot is 3 points higher than the computers are saying. So, that's part of the deal. I mean, and if that was a design of Bielema to run up scores and help his BCS points, great, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, more power to him. He's got his team at least into the rows. You don't think that there's a chance Oregon or Auburn lose this week to maybe put a Stanford or Scani into that title game?
I don't see it. I don't see Oregon losing to Oregon State. Oregon State has been up and down, but mostly down this year. Ever since James Rogers, the wide receiver, got hurt, that offense has really been struggling. I don't see either team losing, no. And then I expect to, you know, see Oregon and Auburn in that title game and probably see the over-under set at about 78 points. That should be an absolute blast to watch. And but as a result, there's some really intriguing other BCS matchups that could happen. You got Whiskey probably playing Stanford, or if Orange gets that first pick of the at-larges, you know, Wisconsin against TCU, I think, would be a fabulous matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, if Orange gets that first pick of Stanford, then we get Stanford against Virginia Tech, I'd watch that. I think there's some really, really phenomenal matchups there, potentially, even if the Oregon-Auburn goes chalk and ends up in the BCS game.
And don't forget the unbelievable potential matchup of Connecticut with 4, 5, 8 losses taking on a Big 12 team. I mean, my goodness, that would be appointment viewing, right?
Nebraska-UConn probably would not bring in the viewers, you're right. But, you know, somebody, West Virginia, if UConn loses, I mean, that's a team that travels well. That's a team that has nationwide appeal. So I don't think, I think the Big East would be better represented financially if West Virginia were to emerge from this a cauldron of destiny or whatever, a cauldron of mediocrity that is the Big East.
You know, with Bill Stewart,
you know, I think the story to me is UConn. I mean, they're going to play a warm weather game quite likely this late in the season against USF. USF is down to a backup quarterback unless BJ Daniels gets healthy. You know, it just seems to me the stars are aligning for UConn.
Freshman walk-on kicker, or quarterback, excuse me, is going to be more than likely the guy under center for the Bulls. So it looks like my preseason Big East predictions coming true just as late as possible for it to come through. It might actually do so with Connecticut. Vince, we do have to run, but I certainly appreciate you stopping by. I know you're a busy man, and I appreciate all the college football knowledge. And, of course, fantasycollegeblitz.com. I'm hoping you had a great Thanksgiving, and I certainly look forward to chatting again next week.
I did. Still recovering from the turkey-induced coma, and so maybe I'll be a little sharper next week.
You're always sharp. That's Vince Mullins, boys and girls, fantasycollegeblitz.com. Also on the old Twitter, at Vince Mullins. So there you go. Thank you to Vince. Always a lot of fun to chat on Mondays, as we do every single week.